It's time for Ask Dr. Daria on RadioMD.com. Do you have a question? Tweet your questions to @ShareCareNow using hashtag ShareCareRadio or email your questions to AskDrDaria@RadioMD.com. Here's Dr. Daria.
Welcome back. In honor of Autism Awareness Month, I've invited Dr. Céline Saunier, Clinical Director for Research at the Marcus Autism Center of Children's Healthcare of Atlanta. She's Assistant Professor in the Pediatrics Department at Emory School of Medicine and co-authored the book, The Essentials of Autism Spectrum Disorders, Evaluation and Assessment. Dr. Saunier, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Let's first dive in on some definitional information. What's the difference between autism and autism spectrum disorder?
Well, autism and autism spectrum disorder should really be interchangeable at this point in time. There was a time in our diagnostic classification system when we had subtypes of autism, like Asperger's, pervasive developmental disorder, not otherwise specified. But our most current diagnostic system has turned to a more dimensional approach with just this one term, autism spectrum disorder.
Got it. And so you have a huge range and variety within that spectrum.
Absolutely. There'll be a range in functioning, both language level and cognitive functioning. So some people could be nonverbal, some people could be very verbal, and then intellectual ability will be a wide range as well.
Okay. That's really good to know that new terminology, because we hear so many of them thrown around. So nice to know autism spectrum disorder encompasses them all. Now, you're at the Marcus Autism Center. What's the youngest age of children you see there at the center diagnosed with autism spectrum disorder?
Sure. Autism can be reliably diagnosed by 18 to 24 months when you have an experienced clinician. However, we certainly have evaluated and diagnosed children as young as 12 months, but that's not the norm. And similarly, some children won't present with full symptoms until closer to age 3, but the majority of individuals we could actually detect by age 2. Unfortunately, the average age of diagnosis in our country is still not until about 4.5 to 5.5 years of age.
Really? And what's accounting for that?
I think there's still not enough of an awareness, if you can believe that, of the early symptomatology. Not to mention, I think many of our physicians and pediatricians might take a wait-and-see approach. Oh, you know, we'll wait a few months to see if he starts talking and things like that. But with the prevalence as high as it is, I think we really have to act as early as possible when the first vulnerabilities are identified.
That's a really good point. Are there some things that parents should be looking out for at a young age?
Yes. It's a social disability. So all of those social milestones, even the first year of life, eye contact that's actually meaningful. So shared affect, smiling, looking at you, joint attention. So sharing attention with something in the distance through eye contact, gestures, development of language, and then the integration of your language, gestures, and eye contact.
Okay. So if you think your child's not doing that or not doing it at the appropriate ages, you know, what kind of doctor should you be taking your child to see to be evaluated for it?
So absolutely at every well-child visit, pediatricians should be asking parents about these social milestones. And so parents should also feel confident to raise any concerns to their pediatrician at that time. For more specialized evaluations, developmental pediatricians, psychologists, child psychiatrists, neurologists, and even speech pathologists who are experienced with a disorder can make the diagnosis.
Okay, that's really good to know. And it's so important because of the impact of the interventions. So I really want to talk a lot about that. You know, what interventions are available? You know, what's unique about what you have at the Marcus Autism Center?
Sure. And in this day and age, there are many evidence-based methods of intervention that are effective, including utilizing principles of applied behavior analysis, or ABA, which many people have heard about. But certainly there are also developmental approaches, blended but developmental and behavioral approaches, and certainly a lot more now with parents, parent training and education, and parent coaching. At the Marcus Autism Center, here within our center, we have very specialized treatments for example, severe behavior problems. This would be self-injury, aggression, elopement, which is running away, darting into a street, for example, toileting issues, and then severe feeding problems. People with autism can have very restricted eating and restricted eating habits. So we have treatment for that. We have specialized one-on-one and small group instruction for the minimally verbal children. And then lots of parent training and telemedicine and medical interventions going on. And then for infants and toddlers, we actually have a lot of research ongoing for much more parent-focused early intervention in the home, coaching parents and using a model called early social interaction, which is Amy Weatherby's model from Florida State University.
Fascinating. So even interventions being done in the home?
In the home in the first 2 years of life, yes, because you want to capitalize on the parents as the primary caregivers so that, mm-hmm. that they're getting the most out of the interaction with their child mm-hmm. rather than having a therapist, for example, taking the time with the child to do okay. treatment or intervention. So at the very young ages, you just want to coach the parent to be keeping their child engaged.
That makes sense because the parents have so much more time with their child than the hour a week or some small amount with the therapist.
Absolutely. And then they can embed all of those techniques into just naturally occurring activities. So it's not that they have to go to a center to receive mm-hmm. the intervention.
That's really important to know. Now, you mentioned telemedicine. How is that being used?
So we do lots of different telemedicine interventions. So Dr. Felissa Goldstein here is our child psychiatrist, and she has many sites set up around Georgia where she does evaluation and assessment for individuals. So the family would bring their child to one of our telemedicine sites. And if you go on our website at marcus.org, you can actually see where all those sites are. And then she will interact directly with the family through the web-based program. We also do a parent training intervention via telemedicine. And so, again, the families are going to a center, but then they receive the direct instruction on how to learn behavioral strategies to work with their child with the psychologist. And then we also have a grant that we just got within our severe behavior program with Dr. Nate Call, which will be doing telemedicine to do treatment for severe behavior issues, and that will be directly into the home. So the parents only have to sign on to a web-based platform in their own home, and they can communicate directly with the interventionist.
So you're saying that even if people cannot get to you physically in Atlanta, they can still engage and get the impact of the autism center.
Absolutely. Many intervention techniques, certainly care coordination and hopefully evaluation and assessment.
That's fantastic. And let's talk about that. Let's talk about the impact of early intervention. How does it affect a child's life with autism spectrum disorder?
Well, because it's a social disability, social communication disorder, what ends up happening is when a child can't communicate, they will learn other means to communicate through their behavior, and that's why you see the disruptive behavior. So in a child that doesn't receive early intervention, they've already learned all these maladaptive strategies like self-injury or aggression or meltdown. But that can be debilitating and sustain itself throughout life. But if you identify that the vulnerabilities in the first couple years of life, you teach functional communication skills, then the children don't develop those maladaptive strategies. So we can really remediate a lot of the vulnerabilities that we see in autism quite early and then capitalize on the strengths that individuals with autism bring into our world.
That's fantastic. So I imagine the earlier, the better. In the last 30 seconds, what about parents with maybe a later diagnosis? Can they come to you for resources as well?
Absolutely. We have a care coordination program here, so they will help families navigate not only our intervention services, but what's available to these families in their own community. So we have a large and even growing resource list and help them get connected with treatment groups, support groups, and things like that. We do offer research programs on older individuals. Certainly, we're Children's Healthcare of Atlanta, so mm-hmm. we're serving individuals up to about age 21. But from
That's
a research
fantastic.
Standpoint, we do research autism from the lifespan.
So
we do
partner
with Emory Autism Center, who does treatment with adults.
That's fantastic. Thank you so much, Dr. Saulnier. That's all the time we have for today, but you can follow the Marcus Center on Facebook at Marcus Autism Center or on their website at www.marcus.org. I'll be back next week for Ask Dr. Daria to answer all your health questions and wellness questions. In the meantime, feel free to tweet me at Twitter at ShareCareNow or on my handle at Dr. Daria. This is Dr. Daria, and you're listening to ShareCare Radio on Radio MD. Thanks for listening, and stay well.